In this episode, I'm going to break down the Biggest Loser trainer Jillian Michaels video marketing lawsuit, fake Facebook Live videos, how Budweiser used video to honor Yankee legend Derek Jeter, and where the power of intention fits into your video marketing.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about VR, but this virtual reality startup has an office that has kinky sex room parties. Oh my. We're also going to be talking about Biggest Loser trainer Jillian Michaels' video marketing lawsuit, fake Facebook Live videos, how Budweiser used a video to honor the captain, Mr. November, Yankees legend Derek Jeter, and where the power of intention fits into your video marketing. But first, I'm also going to be sharing what's going on in my life. But before I do that, I want you to know that when I was a kid, I loved radio, right? I loved the power of storytelling and the process so much that when I was 26, I was behind the mic of one of the nation's great news talk stations. And every day, as part of my job, I got to tell and paint the picture of what was developing in the news. You know, the hosts that I loved over the years were super smart. They were just flat out brilliant people. But what really made them so intriguing to me was that they were a bit vulnerable with their audience, right? The more candid they were, the deeper I connected with them. So here goes. You know, I've doubled in revenue every year here at Wirebuzz, except last year. We only grew by 60%, but we grew by 60% with 33% less salespeople. And all of that growth is due to leveraging video to optimize our sales process. Now, of course, video is the superhero of the sales process. You know that as a listener to this podcast. And at my core, I'm an optimizer. Like, that's my job. And for clients that walk through our door, I optimize their sales process, often by integrating video. Sure. At first glance, video marketing is a marketing term. But in my hands, video is a sales tool. And I love to be able to leverage it to help clients amplify their results. But that doesn't mean that I've got everything about my business figured out, right? Like a polishing stone that's tumbling down the stream, I'm learning as I go, right? And as I polish, I perfect. But here's what I don't know. And if you can help me or point me in the right direction, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, all right? I feel like right now I'm a sturdy brick building that's about to exceed its just overall weight capacity. And I know where I want to take my agency, and I think I know how to scale it, but I don't have anybody that I can talk to that's already done this for a digital agency. And I'm not looking for a best friend, but I'm not opposed to that either. But if you know anybody who'd be a fabulous Sherpa who's already successfully scaled their digital agency, I'd love an introduction. You know, candidly, there are a lot of people that are relying on me, clients that need results, and I love that, and I thrive on it, employees and their families that are expecting me to deliver, and they help me in driving revenue and all those good things, right? And my wife. And I'd love to talk with somebody who's already been there, already done that, and knows the pitfalls and what to look out for along the way to scaling a really powerful digital agency. We're like 3/4 of the way. So if you got a Sherpa in mind, don't hesitate to introduce me. You can reach me by email. It's the easiest way. Todd@wirebuzz.com. But you can also hit me up on social. But anyway, that's my ask today. By the way, I also enjoy hearing from you and sharing your messages with the team. I love sharing information with the audience as we start to develop it. And the big picture for me is I hope that all this helps you make a ton of money so you can employ people, so you can lift up each other's lives, so you can create great results, all right? That's what matters to me the most. Hey, before we get started with the news, if you want to get access to our new video course, it's a mini course where we teach the secrets of guaranteeing that your videos generate ROI. Just go to wirebuzz.com/ROI. It'll feature yours truly across 5 videos, teaching you our secrets so you can start leveraging it to turn your business into an ROI machine. So let's dig right into the news that matters to video marketing masters. Josh Constein reported in TechCrunch, quote, Facebook is banning misleading uses of live video. The company tells TechCrunch that it's adding a section to its live API Facebook platform policy that reads, quote, don't use the API to publish only images. Example, don't publish static or animated or looping images or to live stream polls associated with an unmoving or ambient broadcast. Look, videos that violate the policy will have reduced visibility on Facebook, and publishers that repeatedly break the rule may have their access to Facebook Live restricted. All of this is inside of this TechCrunch article. Important, if it's important for you, it'll be on the show notes page for this episode, episode 88. TechCrunch called on Facebook to crack down on fake live videos back in January after it announced a list of the top 10 live videos of 2016, half of which really weren't live, but instead just polls or countdowns on a static background. And now Facebook is taking the next step towards preserving the sanctity of the live format. It's the urgency, the unpredictability, and the on-screen action that drives people to live videos and gets them to keep watching to see what happens next. Look, really, when you're talking about Facebook Live, it's important that you recognize that way, way back in episode 73, I did an overview on the 9 killer Facebook Live ideas or concepts that you could use, not just on Facebook Live, but on Twitter, Periscope, or you know, Instagram or any of these platforms, right? YouTube Live. And I also have some tips and tactics there at wirebuzz.com/73. You see, Facebook Live is a great place for businesses to step out of the box, to create content like I often do when I do this podcast off of our Facebook Wirebuzz channel. I want to make sure that people can see what's going on. I want to answer questions live, right? And provide a sense of authenticity. That's how you use it. But when you game the system, there's a whole different level of problems. Now, going back to the TechCrunch article, quote, we've reached out for clarifications about one of the prevalent types of misleading videos, which are countdowns. Since these are often filmed with a computer graphic over a looping background, videos like a New Year's countdown, which is on the TechCrunch article that you could see from BuzzFeed, could potentially qualify. But Facebook tells TechCrunch that for now, countdowns featuring real-world like clocks that are happening for an event that don't loop are not prohibited. But if publishers who post these keep getting negative feedback, their reach could shrink, and Facebook says it's going to continue to monitor this trend. Facebook has poured a ton of engineering and marketing resources into owning the verb, quote, to go live. And keeping the quality of these broadcasts high is critical to recouping its cost over the long term by really being the premier place to record and watch live video social content. And that's why Facebook has to be rather strict about this. They don't want people gaming the system. Your business takeaway is, look, there are a lot of marketers out there, I'm sure you've worked with a few, Lord knows I have, who are obsessed with always trying to game the system. At every opportunity, they will see some marketing opportunity like, if you use Facebook Live right now, Facebook's gonna notify every one of your followers when you go live. And then, like this is a video game that you can rig, these marketers try to game the system to maximize their marketing impact and their reach. To me, that's an epic waste of time and an enormous fail. But what if instead of wearing a black hat and trying to game the system or trying to pull a fast one on Facebook, these content creators, these marketers, use that same amount of energy and put on that good guy white hat and followed the rules and just focused on creating content that their audience actually cared about, right? What if? Look, if you do things the right way, your audience gets rewarded with really valuable live content. Isn't that the lasting impression that you want to leave? And more valuable than creating a campaign that revolves around fake numbers, what about creating something that has real value and authenticity, right? Think about it. Later on, we're going to be talking about the power of intention, but that fits in right here too. Forbes had a video marketing article titled, "Are You Maximizing the Use of Video in Your Content Marketing Strategy?" And I'd share the details with you right now, but as a frequent listener of this podcast, you already know much more than that Forbes article could even hope to tell you. So let's just skip it and go back to TechCrunch. Look, TechCrunch reported today Instagram Stories adds a more subtle and mature but error-prone copycat of Snapchat's beloved augmented reality selfie filters. The eight initial, quote, face filters, as Instagram calls them, work exactly like Snapchat, but they let you add virtual koala ears, which Lord knows how many times, if only I had some koala ears I could stick on, or nerd glasses, a butterfly crown, or a wrinkle-smooth makeup to yourself, and friends in photos or videos. I mean, really what they're doing is it's all copycatism. What's working over there with Snapchat that we could steal? And we've detailed this out in past episodes. You know, TechCrunch got an exclusive hands-on demo of the filters, which they say is easier to use and don't distort your face as much, but they don't track your movements and stay properly positioned on your face as well as Snapchat's. But all of that is the next iteration. That'll all be coming soon. I think they felt like they needed to roll it out now because people were really demanding some friggin' koala ears. I saw in New York Magazine today that Snapchat's update rolls out a few new features that I thought you would know that seem poised to change the platform in a big way. Quoting, most importantly, Snapchat's infamous time limits, the at most 10-second period your friends are given to hastily watch and maybe screenshot a snap before it vanishes, are now, get this, optional. Users can now choose to send snaps without a time limit by tapping the infinite symbol, right? You know, the infinity symbol that now appears as a time option. And when a user receives an infinite snap, they'll be able to watch for as long as they want, provided they don't tap out of a snap. Now, once a snap, even an infinite one, is closed, it's still gone forever, right? So if you close it, you're SOL, move on to something new. This new tool is mostly good for sending snaps to individual accounts since Snapchat Stories already let users to watch as many times as they would like within a 24-hour period. It's a handy feature that those busy snaps where 10 seconds isn't enough time to study all the detail, and even more handy for making sure you get all important screenshots. That's what people do, right? When people want to take screenshots of something that's valuable so they can refer to it later. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the opening up of Snapchat to larger platforms is basically an acknowledgement like Twitter made, right? Where Twitter was like, maybe these small little videos really should be longer, we'll extend the period. And I think what you're seeing with both those platforms is the long-term sustainability of those platforms are more valuable when they allow their audience to create longer content. Now, what else is more valuable is how this type of a change affects the way potential advertisers view the platform. Because when an advertiser is looking for where they should place their, let's say, videos in order to get in front of a target audience, what they're really doing is they're looking at metrics. And the way these social networks game the metrics, right? Because everybody seems to be gaming things in this episode. The way that they game the metrics is they encourage people to stay there longer. That's why you're seeing on Facebook and on Twitter, like my British friend says, that's why you're seeing on those platforms that they're introducing long-form content like television shows and moving them over, or sporting events, because they want to show advertisers that not only do they have the right demographic, but that demographic is no longer there for 140 characters and bouncing. That demographic is now there for 45 minutes on average, right? That's where the rubber meets the road. And a platform like Snapchat becomes an invaluable tool for marketers to be able to reach out and to engage that audience. Hey, did you see this story? Lawsuit describes, I'm going to just read the title for you first, because the title I had to read like six or seven times. Lawsuit describes VR startup's office with kink room parties filled with sexual impropriety. Silicon Beat is reporting prostitutes at work, an office kink room, internal emails discussing an executive's STD results. Those were the conditions. At a San Francisco-based virtual reality startup, Upload VR, according to the lawsuit filed against the company by a former employee. Look, I'm not going to go through the employee's allegations. I just thought, look, I'm supposed to be reporting on video marketing, and VR fits under that umbrella. If you want to see the story, you can get it off of Silicon Beat. It'll be on the show notes page for this episode. It's interesting what's going down, but it sounds like, you know, as the world is waiting for VR to be the next great big thing, which people claim it is going to be, I don't see it on the horizon for another 10 years, right? But as the world is expecting VR to be valuable and people are investing in it to turn a profit, these VR guys are going a little bit off the deep end, acting like rock stars in their office and pissing off employees. You can get access to that on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/88. You know, it's funny, as I was going through and reading this employee's claims about the company and it being a little bit wild and out of control, I saw this, that this employee claims that they were forced to perform menial tasks like cleaning the office refrigerator, which instantly in my mind, I was like, well, that's one of our menial tasks that employees are asked to do. In fact, I think the cleaning the office refrigerator is the task that our director of video production, Strons Vanderplug, who's often on this podcast, I think Strons might be the one. And with the NBA draft just happening last week, we do a draft every time a new employee comes into the company. We redraft all of the jobs, you know, the menial tasks, like cleaning the office refrigerator, and we do it by seniority. So Marcus Krieg's been here the longest. He picks the one that's like a cakewalk. I don't even know what it is. It's some task that is so inconsequential that he would never actually physically have to do anything. Oh, Marcus is the backup. He's the backup for doing a menial task. That's great. Hey, we're almost at this point culturally where startups like the one I just mentioned, this Upload VR, it dawned on me, you know, we're almost at this point culturally where startups are going to create their own marketing hype by releasing some tawdry news story that could help them launch their business faster. Like, we're almost there. And this is exactly the tactic that we've already seen done several times by individuals, right? Like Paris Hilton, right? In the sex tape, or Kim Kardashian, and dozens of others, thank God, that have already done this. They manufactured their own hype and turned a guerrilla marketing tactic into a career of speaking appearances and stupid shows on E! And Bravo. Now, somebody is going to cook something up and play it out before our eyes. I wonder, you know, somebody's going to be doing it as a business. I wonder who's going to be doing that. Will it be in the movies, TV, is it comic books, maybe professional wrestling or the NFL? I just wonder who that's going to be. Anyway, in totally unrelated news, do you know about Flip or Flop stars Tarek and Christina El Moussa? Do you know who they are, about their very public breakup and how he was in an argument with his wife and took a gun and went out into the backyard and she thought he was going to kill himself, so the police came in a helicopter and they're now getting divorced, and she's dating the contractor and he's dating the nanny that looks just like his ex-wife, right? Somewhere in Hollywood right now, there's got to be an agent who's thinking, purely from a marketing PR perspective, the best thing that would happen to Tarek and Christina, the best thing they could ever do right now, is to go just a little bit batshit crazy. Because people barely cared about them before their personal life hit the news. And now people are marginally, just marginally interested. And if they went off the deep end a la Charlie Sheen winning and Tiger Milk, if they went that far off the deep end, like they're not only are they remodeling homes on HGTV, but when they're not in front of the camera, they've got a harem of, you know, girls living in their place, like that kind of deep end, all of a sudden they would have the most watched show in the country. Because we almost need something to be a bit tawdry or bizarre for anybody to break through the clutter. And it's just a matter of time before this culturally happens. Did you watch the New York Yankees honor Derek Jeter's career by retiring his number? That's number 2, right? For those of you that are listening to the bilingual broadcast on the SAP station, that is numero dos, they retired. The Yankees now have the full sweep from number 1 all the way to number 10 retired. And Budweiser did something in the video marketing space that was rather extraordinary. Budweiser honored retired Yankee shortstop with a video, and they called it This Buds for 2, right? Numero dos. And then this is according to Adweek. The title references, of course, Jeter's number, which the Yankees recently retired. Now, Budweiser is promoting the effort. It was created by VaynerMedia, who those of you who've been listening to this podcast or are just remotely interested in marketing would know that is Gary Vaynerchuk's company. It's got some 600 or 800 employees at VaynerMedia. And they pushed it out and put it out across media channels as well as a paid digital campaign. It's a very good video. It falls in line with what VaynerMedia did in honor of the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series. They did a great video. It's got to be on the show notes page. The Derek Jeter one's going to be on the show notes page, but I've got to make sure that the one that VaynerMedia did for the Cubs winning, it's got to be on the show notes page. Let me tell you why. Because what they did is they took Cubs legendary announcer Harry Caray, right? Who's, you know, long been deceased, but never forgotten in Chicagoland. And they took his voice and they pulled together years of him calling a game so Harry Caray's voice could call the game as the Cubs won the World Series after 108 years of not making it to the baseball promised land. That was super well done, a brilliant use of video marketing, and a great tactic to come out of the workshop that Gary V runs. You know, last week I told you about how a video was posted on Facebook featuring the King of Thailand, who I didn't even know there was a King of Thailand. And yet in this video, he's walking through the mall in Germany wearing a teeny tiny crop top. Not a good look for the dude, okay? So small, it was like a girl's Baby Gap crop top. And now out of Sydney, Australia, I saw this story. Here's your update. Facebook access in Thailand could be shut down this morning after the government warned the social media giant to remove video of the king wearing his teeny tiny crop top. The standoff between the government and Facebook of Thailand began after a video which shows the 64-year-old king walking alongside an unknown woman has been geo-blocked by the government, although many copies are still circulating on social media. Now, here's what I think is the biggest offense. It's not that the king is shopping in a mall. Kings should have that. They shouldn't have to always have the whole mall brought to them so they can go window shopping. You know, it's part of a basic human life nowadays to be able to walk through the mall. And I don't think the biggest vice is the dude walking through the mall with an unknown woman. The real biggest problem is how ridiculous he looks in this crop top. Now, the Thai Internet Service Provider Association, who knew they had one, TIPSA, of course, and you never want to go to the TIPSA conference, they're boring, is threatening to shut down Facebook if it doesn't remove the 131 posts that it deemed illegal by 1 p.m. today. This is the Bangkok Post reporting. Quote, if the relevant Thai authorities find any illegal content on, ready for this, www.facebook.com facebook.com. In our system, concerned authorities will request that we shut down the CDN of facebook.com, TIPSA said in a statement. Now, the problem here is the Thai government has deemed the bizarre images of its king a threat to national security and said they violate the country's strict majesty laws. Pretty interesting, right? I mean, how lucky are we that we don't have anything like that here in the U.S.? Now, these seven video marketing stats that I want to give you appeared in Time magazine this week. And literally, I know it's just time.com. Maybe it's a sign of my age, but I really don't know if I'm supposed to say appeared in Time, or I got to make it a little clearer to you by saying it appeared in Time magazine. You notice when I'm like, when I mention Fortune or Forbes or Entrepreneur, I drop the magazine there just as a way to help signpost what's going on. So these stats I thought were really interesting. Let's have a little conversation. Much of this is a direct quote out of Time magazine. Including video in emails can improve click-through rates from 200% to 583%. Now, you and I already know that this number is true. I've shared with you in the past that when you add video to your email campaign, you double the open rate, especially if you put the word video, V-I-D-O, in the subject, people intuitively look at that. And because we're all lazy as get out, we see that word and we go, oh, it's a trigger word, right? Oh, cool. I can sit at work and act like I'm working, but I'm really watching a video. So you get 200% of the open rate, you get 300% the click-through rate, and those impressive results they'd be impressive by any standard. However, it's important to apply some basic practices. Keep videos relatively short, no more than 2 minutes long. You know from the last episode of this podcast, or maybe the one before, I think it might have been episode 80. I'm going to say it's episode 85, just my guess. If you could do me a favor, would you mind, Colin, just looking to see episode 85, in my mind, should be an episode where Marcus Krieg and I talk about the value of longer videos, okay? So Time says you want to keep these videos short. If you listen to that episode, which Colin's researching right now, you'll have some greater information about when videos should be short, when they should be long, what the value of longer videos are. And you want to include them early in the email where viewers are paying most attention. So don't bury it where somebody's got to scroll down. It's the most valuable asset, that image with a play button in your email that's linked to a landing page where that video lives is the most important valuable asset that you can have on the page. By the way, I just got a confirmation from Colin, who's sitting in for Christo today, running the audio, that in fact it is wirebuzz.com/85, where you can find that interview where Marcus and I break down the value of long video. Time went on to say more than 50% of all videos are viewed on mobile. We know that number is now closer to 60%, right? Not only are more than 50% of videos viewed on mobile, you know that number to be 60, right? But there's also a 233% increase in viewing since 2013. And it should also be noted that a vast majority of views are through phones and not tablets. Mobile is also behind on the overall 33% increase in video views, right? Mobile is what's driving that. Anyone interested in mobile and video as a tool should also know that their target audience members are frequently watching video that are 5 minutes or longer, right? I already provided you greater context earlier in this Time magazine. Now you'll know why. Want more information? wirebuzz.com/85 on that topic. Adding a video, they go on to say, to a landing page can boost conversion rates by 80%. You and I, we know that. The next piece to this article from Time is the recommended viewing length on Facebook Live videos is actually 3 times longer than regular video. Goes on to say that audiences are clearly attracted to live content. Live streaming videos not only get viewers' attention, but they keep them there significantly longer. And this gives hosts more time to reach audience members with their message. So I get this question all the time. People are like, hey, Todd, how long should a Facebook Live event be? Really, I think you want to allow it the audience some buffer time when they're arriving. Not everybody's going to show up the second you go live. Don't expect it. So do a little bit of a promise. In a moment, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, right? Then, after you say that, but first, we're going to wait for a few of you to get into the live event, and then we're going to get started, right? And so I do what would be a traditional talk show host, buy some time, fill some air. And then within the first, I'd say, minute, then I really start the event. And so you want that to go maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. I've done an hour before. I've actually done an hour and a half, did a full live speech that I give in front of paying audiences, did that on Facebook Live. You know, the reason I want you to not, I just don't want you to be constrained by time. On Facebook Live, make the events longer. Your topics are a little broader than you would on a regular video. All right, cool. And while you're doing this, you also want to be taking audience questions and answering those questions if they fit within the context of your conversation. Answer them in real time. Use their name. Make a connection. All right, this next piece, 90% of users say that product demo videos help them make buying decisions, right? You and I already know that. We know that video's got superpowers. It's freakish when you want to use it for a product or service, and that people are 144% more likely to buy after looking at a product or a service featured video. The next piece to this puzzle, 81% of audience members viewed more live content in 2016 over 2015. Oh, them times, they are a-changing. Then Time also wrote that videos posted on social get 1,200% more shares than text and images together. They write, this statistic clearly shows that there's something about videos that can create much more engagement than other forms of content. Now, companies who wish to increase their audience, and literally, I don't know a single one that's not looking to increase their audience, but this is Time's article. Companies that are looking to increase their audience and improve brand recognition absolutely look towards video and should look towards video as a way to accomplish their goals. Video marketing is no longer cutting edge. This is what it says here. These numbers prove that not only should video be a part of your content strategy, it should likely be the main component. Exactly. Hey, welcome to the 21st Century Time Magazine, right? This is what we've been explaining since episode one of this podcast. It has been my journey as a trailblazer in the space since I got started many years ago. And I find it really interesting because it says here that video marketing is no longer cutting edge. Let's spend a moment on that. If you want to do it right, there are cutting edge strategies and tactics that you have to use that are now basically a given, right? But I think what Time is saying is it's not too far out there to actually believe that, you know, video marketing is valuable. But you still need to make sure, in order for that campaign to work, in order for the video to be in the right player, in order for the script to have the right type of direction, to generate the right call to action later, and have that call to action be tied to a landing page, and that landing page be built with the video player that's tracking audience data and attention into a CRM, so a sales team knows who to follow up if the person doesn't convert, all of that is cutting edge. If you want to read that article from Time, you can just go to the show notes page for this episode. I'll give you information on that later on. Now, not to be left out from this episode, here's your weekly update on how really crazy people used Facebook Live this week. A man died after setting himself on fire in Facebook Live on video early Saturday morning, authorities said. Detroit police are investigating a Facebook Live video that was taken outside of a liquor store that appears to show a woman who was possibly intoxicated being sexually assaulted in broad daylight. All right, let's get down to some Twitter news. Fortune Magazine, notice I dropped the magazine on you. Fortune Magazine, an interesting article this week titled, quote, "What Twitter's Future Could Depend On," written by Mark C. Scott, not Marcy Scott, Mark C., middle initial, Scott. But before we get started with the Fortune article, what have I been telling you is Twitter's future? Their future is just like Facebook's future, like just like Google, just like Instagram and Snapchat. It's all video first, right? So this article says, quote, "It's clear that Twitter's future will be far beyond its 140-character limitation. Video will be and must be an integral part of its existence. Its potential to seamlessly integrate live video with discussion and debate will be an essential part of Twitter's future success. Twitter gives companies the opportunity to gain access to a global and, in some instances, really mass niche audience, something that television broadcasts can't do." That's out of that Fortune article. And when you think about Twitter being used as a tool for businesses to gain access to a global or even mass niche audience, like Fortune says, in many cases, Twitter is the modern version of the press release industry. You know, back just maybe when I started this company, the press release industry was still viable because people weren't looking into their analytics. They really weren't. When I was at the Premier Radio Network, and then later on at Empower, the women's health media company, and both would push out press releases, but I had access to the keys to the kingdom because the answers are always in the analytics. So if you see that a press release goes out on a Tuesday, you're going to want to go back into the analytics and look to see, geez, how valuable was that press release, right? It just seems basic, but for generations, businesses would push out press releases. And they just assumed they worked. And then if you went in on the back end and you didn't see a blip, eventually the person who looked at the analytics would be such a, I would say, a Todd Hartley thorn in the side to the communications team. Because I was ringing the bell saying, hey, we just did the Today Show. I was there. We got nothing on our website. How valuable was the Today Show? Oh, wait, we just put out 3 press releases this month. Here's the traffic to the site. On those dates, not a blip, right? So really, Twitter has become that free version of pushing out a press release. The press release industry has come crumbling down as has much of the 20th century's media juggernauts. They're all basically disappearing because the answer to your digital marketing tactics, did it work? Did it not work? Where should we invest money? The answer is always in the analytics. Oh, I saw this interesting story about YouTube in Barron's. My God, what is Barron's doing writing? Everybody's writing about video nowadays. It's like, you know, you see video in Fortune, right? You see it there because, or an Entrepreneur or Forbes. Why is it there? Because video is the foregone conclusion. It's the king of content, and it's a legitimate business tool. And all these publications are now starting to provide more and more information. I saw this really fascinating article on Barron's about YouTube. They wrote, quote, "About 2 months ago, several major companies pulled their ads from Google-owned YouTube after reports that the ads were being shown alongside extremist content from hate groups and terrorists. Now, among the companies that stopped advertising in YouTube were behemoths like General Motors, Walmart, PepsiCo. Some also pulled ads from the Google Display Network, which places ads on millions of other websites. Google is using improved technologies, including machine learning, to do better job enforcing its policies to keep ads away from problematic content. And recently, Google's CEO told investors that the company had the issue under control. Quote, advertisers have clearly noticed all the improvements we have made, end quote. JMP securities analyst Ronald Josey wrote in April, quote, "We believe large brand advertisers are increasingly coming back to the platform, suggesting minimal disruption to monetization growth at YouTube in our view, end quote. But Barron's next reached out to a dozen companies that had reportedly pulled their ads from YouTube and or the Google Display Network and found, check this, that several major advertisers have yet to return. Walmart still won't run ads on YouTube. A Walmart spokesperson wrote but declined to explain further. Verizon continues to suspend its ads as it works with its digital ad partners to understand the weak links. Nestle has also paused their media buy with Google and YouTube pending reassurance from them on actions to address the problem that the problem of brand advertisings appearing on inappropriate websites. Toyota will only run ads on channels where they can direct the placement, such as BuzzFeed and Discovery, and they're inactive on YouTube. Right? Some big companies have been convinced that Google is on top of it and are working with ad agencies to make sure they're protected. Barron said that Johnson & Johnson has resumed advertising in a number of select countries, including the U.S., after Google insulated brand protections. But Google hasn't qualified how many advertisers left and didn't answer Barron's questions on how many have returned. But I think it's really interesting here because there's a business takeaway for you and for me. If your business is thinking about advertising on YouTube, this is actually a great sign for online marketers. If big brands have temporarily removed their ad dollars from YouTube, you now have a golden opportunity. Because think about being in an auction. This stuff is all auction mentality, right? If you're at an auction, like a stone's throw from our office is where the Scottsdale Barrett Jackson Auto Auction takes place every year. It basically makes getting to the office a nightmare. But if all the millionaires and billionaires didn't arrive one year to that auction, dudes like you and me could walk in and pull out, like, you know, year one Mustangs that are in perfect condition, right? And we could drive down the street with the top down like a baller with no air conditioning in Arizona. You know what I mean? Beautiful cars ready to leave. And that's basically what happened right now, where all these big brands have pulled their dollars off the table so people like you and I can take advantage of this limited opportunity on YouTube. All right, so as I was just going through that last piece of news, I looked over to my right, and our studio that we're in has soundproof glass on both sides, and it connects to our conference room. So as I was going through my notes and giving you my fresh takes that don't suck, I looked over and there's a meeting going on in the conference room with people that I've never seen before. And it caught me off guard because generally, you know, our clients have been with us for years. So when new people walk into the building, it's a little bit catches me off guard, especially when I'm dropping mad beats behind the microphone right here, giving you my latest takes. Former Biggest Loser trainer Jillian Michaels is celebrating a $5.8 million win in her legal battle with Lionsgate that could have implications for the future of free videos on YouTube. Now, Jillian Michaels sued Lionsgate in 2015 over it posting her workouts for free on its YouTube channel, BeFit. Now, Michaels claimed that because the workouts were offered for free, her fans would be less likely to pay for her content. Now, on Wednesday, an arbiter agreed and ordered Lionsgate to pay Michaels $5.8 million with an M for lost past and potential future profits, as well as attorney fees and arbitration costs. Now, this is kind of, this quote is, this earned it right into the podcast. So hear me out for a moment. I'm going to read two quotes. Goes on to say, look, this is Jillian Michaels, this first quote. Quote, "This is an important decision, not just for me, but for all experts, artists, and content creators finding their work devalued and revenue lost in this digital age," Michaels told the Business Insider in an exclusive interview. Quote, "I'm thrilled with the opportunity to provide healthy lifestyle content to the masses through digital media, and I want it to be accessible and affordable for fans," the fitness guru added. "It's a win for the consumer and for experts, and how I hoped the digital media landscape would continue to evolve." She created the streaming network Fit Fusion, which allows members to view all of her fitness content along with that of many other fitness experts. Now, this might be my favorite part, okay? Because look, you and I, we're probably, I know I am, and you are probably a content creator, right? And so not all of us have the access to sell our content behind a paywall, right? Michael's attorney, Richard Bush, called it a, quote, landmark ruling, since it could affect how companies promote, share, license content in the future, in addition to protecting the talent. Now, this here is the crown jewel. He said, quote, this decision represents a firm pronouncement that placing work on YouTube for free devalues it and damages artists like Jillian, who created it. Bush told the Tennessean. Lionsgate didn't immediately respond to the Business Insider's request for a comment, and really, why should they? I mean, they already got their word, right? And now their only choice left is to appeal or to pay the 5.8. Now, Jillian's attorney, right? Landmark ruling. Decision represents a firm pronouncement that placing work on YouTube for free devalues it and damages artists, right? That's what her attorney said. And as a listener, you know, when business videos are strategically aligned with business goals, it does the opposite of devaluing what you created, right? There's something very zen about providing information that's valuable. The people who benefit from it are willing to pay for more of it with really higher production qualities. If you're old enough to remember when CDs first came out, we already owned that music on records and tapes, but the introduction of CDs, they were all sold to us because of higher quality music. Now, if you provide higher quality anything, if it's valuable to your audience, they're going to pay for it. And if you're providing information for free, let's say on YouTube, which many people are, that's really valuable. People are going to pay you to consult with their business. That's how it works for me. You know, I'm living that yin-yang experience every day. The more that I invest in providing you with really actionable information, the more I do that, the more leads I generate from followers. Yin, yang, right? So your business takeaway is Jillian Michaels' attorney is a law expert, not a digital business expert. The most valuable marketing is what I call helpful. You know why? Because helpful is the new viral. The more helpful you are for your target audience, the faster they're going to beat your door down. Almost every time I post a new podcast episode or a Todd's Tip video across social media, somebody refers me to their boss, their cousin, or their sister's ex-boyfriend that needs a video. So I know how helpful videos work, and that's why I'm a firm believer in the helpful is the new viral marketing mindset, which brings me to Dr. Wayne Dyer. Have you ever heard of the power of intention? You know, the power of intention is inspired by Wayne Dyer in our office. Colin, I know you don't even know this. That calendar that we have, a daily calendar that's underneath the 80-inch TV, is Wayne Dyer's calendar where each day has another reminder to connect yourself to the power of intention. Yeah. And it's been on my desk since 2003 when I got to the Premier Radio Network. My wife bought it for me. And when I was a young talk show host and a reporter on the number one and number two stations in Phoenix, KTAR and KFYI, I had the honor of having Dr. Wayne Dyer in studio with us several times. Dude would always show up in like OP shorts. And the OP shorts, I'm sure you may recall, they're really short. Like they come, you know, like your boxers will probably fall out below. They're so short. And you come with flip-flops and a polo shirt and a ball cap and sit in the studio with us and have really great conversations. And, you know, something that I've thought about often, I've created a really special digital marketing agency. And we've somewhere between 25, maybe 28 employees, if you include the three that are up in the Bay Area. And we've been in business for 6.5 years and we're still servicing every one of our clients. Nobody's ever fired us because We hit home runs for them. We listen really well. And this is something that I've never seen in my career, right? I've got a really bright team of professionals, amazingly talented, with the right intentions to do great work and help our clients drive revenue. And in my professional career, I can remember two or maybe three times when something professionally really didn't work out for me. And each of those events were totally different, except for one thing in common. I had the wrong intentions. And when the project started, they were cursed at the very beginning because my power of intention wasn't aligned properly. And this has gone on in my life. I've seen the power of intentions many times. In fact, can we cue a little music here? Sexy and I know it. That's right. Well, back in the day when single Todd, right, was single, if I started a relationship with the wrong intentions, it didn't work out. It never did. You know, if I had the wrong intentions with a girl, the universe just wouldn't smile on me. It just didn't work for me. And so when you're creating helpful videos, you're really displaying the perfect intention. And great things will happen if you surround yourself with that power. And do you know how I can tell you with certainty that it works? Because I've used the power of intention in my life, and each and every time that it starts, that a project or a relationship starts, the power and having the right intention, great things blossom. Now, I've never shared this with anybody else, but in my head, I've thought many times how important it is to remind everybody involved about having the right intentions when a client project starts. And I've even toyed with the idea of when a client gives us the yes to go ahead with the project, to make sure that everybody has the right intention in place, which is to help them hit a home run and to do it the right way. Because I know that once you organize and you streamline everybody with the same intent, great things happen. An easy way to get access to the show notes for this episode is to remember crack and steroids. Really, no doubt, all right? In 1988, a new drug, crack, a derivative of cocaine, appeared in the U.S. for the first time. And in South Korea, at the Seoul Olympic Games in 88, Ben Johnson won the 100-meter gold and then was disqualified for taking anabolic steroids. All of that happened in 88. An easy way to get access to the show notes page for this episode, Crackin' Steroids Man, wirebuzz.com/88. All right. So that's the biggest news of the week that video marketing masters need to know about. I gave you an overview on the kinky sex rooms from Upload VR, showed you where you can get that article. I told you about the biggest losers, trainer Jillian Michaels, and her video lawsuit and her $5.8 million. I told you about fake Facebook Live videos and what they consider fake, how Budweiser used video to honor Yankee legend Derek Jeter, and I told you about how to leverage the power of intention with your video marketing or your marketing campaigns. All of that super information. I hope it helps you make a lot of money. And if you want to know how to generate ROI with your videos, we released a free video course to the listeners of this podcast. You can get access to it and learn our secrets for guaranteeing that your videos generate ROI, and you can get access to it at wirebuzz.com/ROI. If this podcast episode was valuable to you, go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, hit the subscribe button, and make sure you share this podcast with anybody that you're rooting for, including that family member that's just opening up a business, or your buddy who took a job being a marketing lead at a Fortune 100 company. All of them need to know about the power of video marketing, and nothing works better than using this podcast to start teeing up the conversation to show them how video is moving the needle so they can amplify results at their business. Rate and review, make sure you subscribe. And if you could, please leave a very honest rating and review. That's how I learn, perfect, and polish. And on behalf of my crew here at Wirebuzz, I want to wish you a very prosperous week. Keep in mind that we'll do our job behind the scenes, looking for the latest information in video marketing and to bring that each week to this podcast episode. And we're also going to give you an episode every single week where we talk about something actionable and tactical that'll help you generate more revenue for your business. And it'll happen right here on Video Marketing Mastery.